and of the Holy Spirit. We live in a culture, we live in a time where everything is fast-paced. We never stop to live in the moment, if you will, stop, smell the roses, and just be. It always seems like we're going from one thing to the next. I know that's certainly true, not only in my ministerial life, but also in my personal life. I'm not one to sit still. I like to be doing things, the dishes, the pool, whatever, check the computer. You know, I can't light, as my mother used to say. I'm not very good at lighting. That is just being put into one place. And perhaps, and I'm not ADDH or DHAD or ABCDQ, it's none of that. It's just, you know, I like to do things. That's probably no place more manifest than watching television. Because if I'm watching a program and the, you know, Xarelto commercial comes on, or the MyPillow commercial comes on, I can't stand it. I gotta flip and watch something else because, you know, I can't hear about Xarelto fixing your life or MyPillow making your world better. Because it's going on to the next thing, not staying in the moment, but moving forward. We may have a tendency in Eastertide to think it's time to be in a different place liturgically. It's time for us to be past Easter. And nothing could be further from the truth, because we are in the midst of Eastertide. We are in the midst of that joyful celebration of our Lord's resurrection, that joyful celebration and realization, I hope, in your lives, where we know that truly our sins are forgiven and the gift of eternal life is given to us by and through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church, in its ancient wisdom, knew and understood this. And that is why the 50 great days of Easter, yes, there is but one Easter day, it's the Sunday of the resurrection, that is why the 49 other days are tacked on, so that we remember that event, that we absorb that event, that we live into that event, and we allow the risen Lord to be manifest in our lives, our hearts, and our souls. This morning, the gospel passage is a continuation from the passage in John's gospel from last week. You'll recall last week, of course, the disciples are cowering in fear in the upper room. And there Jesus comes among them and says, "Peace be with you. My own peace I leave with you." He breathes on them, gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, gives them that gift of life. The Lord of life gives the gift of life to the disciples, now become the apostles, because now they are witnesses of his resurrection, his bodily resurrection. And then he gives them the gift of retaining and forgiving sins so that that gift could be passed on to the church. And then we hear the account of Thomas, of course, not being there, and then Thomas coming back, and the Lord coming back to Thomas to prove to him, to give him that assurance that indeed he had risen from the dead. Immediately following is the passage this morning. It's the next day. It seems like the disciples have moved on. Even though what had happened in the upper room the day before was powerful and a moving experience of the risen Lord, they've gone back to what they know. They've moved on. They're like, okay, that happened. That's a good thing. So what are they doing? They're fishing, right? Fishing is a difficult, difficult trade. In the water, you know, cold. They're up all night, and they catch no fish. We hear the parallel story of the pre-resurrected Lord in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, where indeed the disciples are in the boat all night. They catch nothing. And the next morning, Jesus is preaching to the crowds. And it gets kind of hectic, so they go into the boat. And he says, "Put out into the water a bit and drop your nets." And Peter, obstreperous, but not bad, Peter says, "Lord, you know, we did that all night. We didn't catch anything." So he says, "But for you, I'll drop the net." And they bring in this big catch of fish, more than, you know, was straining the net. But again, the net doesn't break, just like in the story that we hear this morning. The net is full of fish again. And they realize, you know, this is something's going on. And they realize also that it's the Lord that is present. And so Peter jumps into the water, and they bring the fish ashore, and Jesus is there, and he says, you know, have some fish, have some breakfast. And no doubt Jesus ate with them as well, both as a proof of their catch and the miracle that they did have the fish after not having anything all night, but also as evidence of his bodily resurrection, because spirits don't eat. Spirits don't eat, so they have the fish. And then I added, and you weren't missing it, I added that pericope at the end, the next four verses, which is very important, because our Lord is now beginning to pass along the authority from himself through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. But he was soon to depart. He was preparing them for the ministry that they were to undertake. Now, you'll recall, prior to our Lord's passion, crucifixion, and death, Peter was there as our Lord was before the Sanhedrin. And Peter was told by the Lord that he would deny Jesus three times. And Peter said, no, that would never, ever happen. And three times in the context of him being queried by the people who were keeping the door, Jesus was denied by Peter. I don't know that man. No, I was not there. No, I was not there. And the cock crowed, and Peter wept, because Peter knew that the truth of the Lord's prediction that he would deny him had come true. So now Jesus goes to Peter to make it right. Goes to Peter to make sure that things are right between them. Because the authority would be passed primarily to Peter and all of the apostles. So this is not a test for Peter. This is so Peter can know beyond any doubt where he stands with the Lord. Peter, son of John, do you love me? Now, the first question, the first time the Lord asks, he probably kind of blows it off. He's like, yeah, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Of course I love you. Jesus says a second time to him, Peter, do you love me? He says, you know, Lord, I love you. And the first time he says, feed my sheep. And now he says, tend my sheep. Then Jesus asks a third time, parallel to the three denials, Peter, son of John, do you love me? And Peter's heart was grieved. Maybe he doesn't believe me. Maybe he doesn't trust in my love for him. Maybe he's not sure. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says to him again, feed my lambs. The authority has now been passed to Peter and the rest of the apostles. The risen Lord has passed through the Holy Spirit that authority to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to forgive sins, and to pass along that gift of the message and the promise of eternal life. We know how this ends. Peter and the disciples go into the world, and by that witness and by that ministry, they change the world. They didn't stay in one place. They went on to the next thing in a good way, in the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We are still in Eastertide, beloved. Relish Eastertide. Relish the fact that the Lord is risen. Relish the fact that sins are forgiven. Relish the fact that the Lord's word is promised, is trustworthy and true, that we are one with the Lord. We are called to follow the Lord, as Peter was called to follow the Lord in the beginning, and as Peter was called to follow the Lord in John's gospel this morning. At the end, Jesus says to Peter, follow me. We are called just as Peter was. We are empowered, just as the apostles were, by the Holy Spirit to follow the risen Lord, to live into the joy of following the risen Lord, to live into the joy of knowing his grace and his love in our lives. So now you're given permission to go to a different place. Go forward in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ and know that grace and that love in your lives as only the risen Lord can witness to us and as only we can live out by and through his resurrection and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.